And we're going to call the April 11th Michigan State University Board of Trustees meeting to order and welcome everyone here. And with that, I'm going to turn to Secretary Fletcher.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. Just very brief note that, again, welcoming you to the April board meeting, the last meeting of the academic year. As we're going along, there are several items of university business, action items that need to be considered this morning. We're just sort of urge everyone to kind of help us work through that. In the event of a disruption, we'll unfortunately be unable to hear public comment this morning. But again, do appreciate everyone's time. So thank you, President.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve today's agenda?
Support.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The agenda is approved. And I'd like to see if there's a motion to approve the February 7th, 2025 meeting minutes. Second. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? The minutes are approved. Okay, so I'll begin with the President's report, and I've already welcomed everyone, and I'll just say that I thank all of you that welcomed me 403 days ago, to be exact, just coming up, just finished the one-year anniversary, and I just want to say that I started my journey here with a 52-stop listening and learning tour, and it's been sort of continuing over the past here in my 14th month now, but it's been an exhilarating and rewarding experience, one that reinforces my optimism that our work building a bolder, more contemporary Michigan State University is possible, and I'm thrilled to be working alongside an amazing leadership team, world-class faculty, curious students, dedicated staff that make it possible every day. But as you know, our work toward realizing our vision has been complicated by recent federal actions. Most recently, we learned that some of our international Spartans had their visas canceled, while others were removed from the government's database authorizing their residency here. These developments are understandably creating anxiety among our international Spartans on campus and raising concerns across our university. I've met with a lot of students and groups over the past few weeks, with four groups just this week, as well as spending time on Capitol Hill all day on Wednesday. But here on campus, the concern, the anxiety is palpable. We hear it, too, from our faculty and staff members, and I know that they care deeply about making sure that everyone who comes to Michigan State University can be here and that they can thrive while they're here. As Interim Provost Yitzko and I shared in a campus message on Wednesday, Michigan State University is a university not only for the people of Michigan, but for the world, something that we're proud of, something that we've been committed to for decades. And for more than 150 years, international Spartans have reinforced our position as a leading global research university through their excellence and cultural contributions. To support them, we are responding across multiple fronts, aiding visa students through the Office of International Students and Scholars and consulting with our peer universities nationwide, spending a lot of time with legal and governmental networks across the country to be sure that we can provide the best strategy moving forward. As I've already said, on Wednesday, I joined other Michigan State University leaders in Washington, D.C., and between us, we attended 23 meetings in congressional offices. I personally was especially honored to meet with Representatives Barrett and Wahlberg to exchange views, and I would say that part of my role as the university's president here is to continue to educate people, especially educating those who haven't spent a lot of time here on our campus so that they can understand what the value is of a great leading global public research university like Michigan State is, And I want to offer up my appreciation to our government relations team and all the others that represented Michigan State so well up in Washington, D.C., not just on that one day. We do it every day, and we have great stories to tell, and that's what I spent time on Wednesday doing, telling the great stories. And so we'll continue to do that important work. To help further communicate the importance of this work, we're launching our Research for You website, featuring stories about our work and its positive impacts on people, our communities, and the environment. And I'm grateful to everyone who worked to help create such a valuable resource that is so clearly demonstrating how Spartan research makes life better. We'll continue monitoring, assessing, and responding to the government's actions, and we'll communicate significant developments to the university community. The road ahead offers great challenges, but navigated thoughtfully as one team and backed by our Spartan will, I remain confident for our long-term future. But we must find new approaches of sustaining our model of a proudly public research university in the land-grant mold, as we like to say. That includes broadening our partnerships with our stakeholders from employers across Michigan to our more than 500,000 alums across the world. With growing uncertainty at the federal level regarding research funding and recent executive orders, I want to reaffirm what I wrote in my guest op-ed for the Detroit News earlier this week. A powerful research ecosystem, one that prioritizes discovery and progress, is essential to America's future. If we're going to maintain America's competitiveness, it's going to be important that we continue and strengthen this partnership between research universities and the federal government. To that end, Michigan State University is committing $5 million per year over the next 3 years to a restricted endowment fund designated for advancing university strategic initiatives. In this moment, few initiatives are more strategic or more essential than sustaining our research enterprise and protecting our educational opportunities for our students. While these funds are not intended to replace lost federal funding and could not fully do so, they represent our deep commitment to MSU's research mission, which continues to improve and save lives. Our world-class faculty are leading these efforts, and we recognize the stress and uncertainty the past few months have created on them and on their work. Given the fast-moving federal landscape, we will share additional details as we prioritize the most high-impact areas for investment, but the message is clear. MSU is standing behind its researchers. We are acting now to protect progress, support discovery, and ensure our university continues to lead in service of the public good. And I want to thank our University Advancement Office and everyone who joined us last month on March the 9th to celebrate the launch of our multi-year $4 billion comprehensive campaign. This fundraising campaign will help us keep pace with students' needs and society's challenges, which is especially important now given the headwinds that we are facing. The campaign focuses on support for talent activation by investing in Spartan's success on synergies. Imagine the important work that we do across disciplines, solving the grand challenges of our time. These boundary crossing research collaborations is something I've learned in these first 403 days, is something that we do better than any university in the country, and we're going to continue to do that. Again, telling the story so that our alumni and our donor base will want to contribute to this campaign and our future success. And then finally, the third theme is around futures built by investing in the spaces and programs that turn our potential into progress. So thanks to all who have or will help us build the MSU of the future. I want to turn now to what is really a season of celebrations of our students, our faculty, our academic and support staff. We have a lot of great things coming up, and I'm excited to host our commencement speakers, all of them MSU alums. Matt Ishbia, a business leader, philanthropist, and owner of the NBA Phoenix Suns, and WNBA Phoenix Mercury, will address our bachelor's degree convocation. Deirdre O'Brien, Senior Vice President of Retail and People at Apple, who was named by Fortune Magazine among the most powerful women in business will speak to our master's degree recipients. And James Spinola, a former MSU dean, president of the University of Texas at Arlington, newspaper executive and editor-in-chief of the State News, will address our doctoral graduates. And I hope to see a lot of graduating students this month at a tradition that I initiated last year for them, climbing Beaumont Tower. We've been celebrating Graduate Professional Student Appreciation Week this week. Enjoyed having, I think we called it pancakes with the president. I think the provost had pizza with the provost. We've been eating a lot this week. Again, celebrating and thanking our graduate students for the important work that they do, serving as teaching assistants and lead instructors in many of our courses, connecting to our undergraduates, and equally important, working alongside our research faculty to drive that research and innovation forward. Graduate students, as I like to say, are the key link between undergraduate students and our faculty and within our research programs, making them a vital part of the university's success. There are so many recent accomplishments and accolades to mention that I can only mention some briefly. We recently learned that 5 STEM undergraduates earned the prestigious Goldwater Scholarship, a university record giving us 60 Goldwater scholars since the award's inception. MSU was again named a top Fulbright producing institution, a prestigious international exchange recognition. And 4 MSU graduate programs in the College of Education were ranked first in the nation in the latest U.S. News and World Report ranking. It was also a pleasure to again help celebrate some of the best of our scholarship, research, teaching, and service at our All-University Award Ceremony this past Monday. I want to also acknowledge and recognize Dr. Erica Werwine, Professor of Physiology, who we surprised. I don't know if she's is Dr. Werwine in the room today. She's probably teaching. She teaches a lot and she's incredible. But we surprised her last week or 2 weeks ago by showing up in her class to notify her that she was going to receive the President's Distinguished Teaching Award in front of her class. That was one of the highlights of my semester. But we recognized Erica this past Monday as well. And at different events. This coming Monday, we'll recognize outstanding support staff members and salute employee service milestones and retirements, as well as academic achievements by our student athletes. It was also great to help salute faculty members and students last week at our annual Innovation Celebration and Burgess New Venture Challenge. I continue to be impressed with the work our faculty members are doing, turning discoveries and innovations into companies, as well as the startups that are being formed by our student entrepreneurs. So congratulations to all these earning recognition this season for their accomplishments. While we're on the topic of innovation, Michigan State will be supporting technology adoption and business competitiveness through a new program in Detroit, where our Apple Developer Academy is preparing to salute its 4th graduate cohort. Building on that success, you may have heard the news just this week about our new Apple Manufacturing Academy. Like the Developer Academy, currently unique in the United States, it will open this summer in downtown Detroit's First National Building. Through in-person and virtual programming, Apple, MSU, and others will help small and mid-sized companies transition to advancing manufacturing and artificial intelligence and machine learning. These are the kinds of partnerships that are critically important now, especially with our federal funding being compromised. So I'm looking forward to visiting the Apple Developer Academy next month when the next Spartan bus tour takes faculty and staff members to the Detroit area to learn more about our research and service impact in the region. Here at home, the board today will consider a resolution to proceed with the Spartan Gateway District, a project that will be transformational for our campus. I mentioned the need to seek new approaches and partnerships earlier, and the Gateway District will include opportunities for public-private partnerships for features including a hotel, housing, retail, restaurants, future academic or healthcare facilities. The district will also include an Olympic sports arena to become the home for our volleyball, gymnastics, and wrestling programs, and to host a variety of campus, community, and statewide events. This area will support our work as a talent activator through engagement with the School of Hospitality Business, Health Sciences, and other colleges. And through its facilities and programming, it will enhance the community's economic health and quality of life. And speaking of gymnastics, I want to send them our best wishes for the upcoming NCAA National Tournament. This will be our program's first championship appearance since 1988. They will travel to Fort Worth to compete in the NCAA semifinals on April 17th. So go green. And I again just want to thank all of you for what you do to make MSU the special place that it is. And so now we'll turn to the rest of today's agenda, and I'll turn to Secretary Fletcher.
Thank you very much. We'll now proceed to public participation on items germane to the agenda, of which there are a couple today. Each individual who's signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. You'll hear the buzzer at the 30-second mark, or a buzzer at the 30-second mark, and again when your time has concluded. Note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. And again, we just ask you to keep within that three-minute time frame. So first we'll hear from Mindy Arbaugh, followed by Tom Munley. So Mindy, I think you're joining us via Zoom. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Mindy, we're in good luck. Technology's working. I think if you want to proceed with your comments, feel free.
Thank you. Good morning, President Guskowitz, trustees, and fellow Spartans. I'm here today to speak about three words that mean a lot to me: innovation, initiative, and courage. The past couple of decades at Michigan State have been short on these three virtues, from tragic events like the Nassar abuses and Mel Tucker's terrible tenure, to less tragic but very painful stumbles like cutting Spartan swim and dive. MSU leadership has been reactive in its decision-making, ducking into the path of least resistance, only to discover that their choices resulted in far worse and damaging outcomes. The through line here has been MSU's inability to be innovative, to take initiative, and be courageous. We are a university founded on these principles. MSU coaches displayed courage in 1913 when they welcomed Charlie Smith to the football team, making him one of the very first African-American student athletes in the nation. We saw MSU President John Hanna display innovation in the 1940s, growing the university to 40,000 students and creating the modern international MSU that the president referred to in his comments today. And as much as it pains me to watch you back a new Olympic arena when the rec center pool is such a miss, I think MSU leaders are taking initiative with the new Spartan Gateway Project. They recognize the community's needs and are investing in the future of volleyball, wrestling, and gymnastics. And I am so excited for those programs to get the venue that they have long deserved. See, look what you guys did there. By being innovative, courageous, and taking initiative, you have this Spartan alum to praise the very university that broke her heart 4.5 years ago. You showed me that this new group of leaders might possess these three principles. So my ask is this: let this pesky, persistent, positive Battle for Spartans swim and dive group help continue this upward trend of improved leadership and vision in East Lansing. All of your Olympic sports are facing perilous times. Let's not wait and see until it's too late. Let's not repeat the mistakes of the past and be reactive to the impending financial maelstrom. Let's preserve the legacy laid out by folks like Charlie Smith and John Hanna. Let's collaborate on creating an Olympic sports fund and help secure the futures of Michigan State's remaining varsity programs and the return of ours. Last week, our battle team had a virtual call with parents, athletes, and alumni from Cal Poly, which cut its swim and dive program in March. It was heartbreaking to hear their reactions. None of us want to have that call with members of a current Michigan State team. I am sure many of you on the board remember the public comments from our brave student athletes. I highly doubt you want to experience that again. So let's not. Let's instead work together to do what is right, what is needed, and what is within reach. The NCAA's missteps do not need to define the future of Spartan athletics. You have the power to end a string of bad decisions. Take initiative, be innovative, and have courage. Go green.
Thank you so much, Mindy. Our next speaker is Tom Munley, also appearing via Zoom. Tom, can you hear me? Tom, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, everyone. Tom Munley from the Valpo Spartan Swim Dive. Thank you, Mindy, for your great comments. I'm here speaking today as I smell smoke, and not smoke from a forest fire, but the fumes of hypocrisy coming from the fire that's burning what remains of this institution's integrity. While Mindy, I think, took an optimistic tone, I have to call out this hypocrisy because our group was told that the uncertainty regarding the House settlement and the potential financial obligations which might be imposed on the athletic department, that there was no possibility that swimming and diving could be reinstated until there was such clarity. Despite this not being what our group wanted to hear, it represented sound financial management on the part of President Guskowitz and Alan Haller. Yet now here we stand with the Spartan Gateway, which includes a $150 million multi-use facility for three Olympic sports, three sports that will never generate the revenue to pay for that facility during its useful life. The financing costs alone for a $150 million project at today's rates would be between $11 and $13 million per year, and that does not include the cost to even turn on the lights. While the optimists pushing this project have no doubt promised revenue from other non-athletic related events, the board should be asking how they will fill such a facility when there are other on-campus venues that sit empty most weekends. Breslin Center, Janison Fieldhouse, Wharton Center, MSU Auditorium, Erickson Kiva, Munn Ice Arena. The list goes on and on of venues that are not in demand and indicate that this new venue will not have outside demand itself to pay for itself. Financially obligating the athletic department and university to this additional expense, while the potential costs related to the House settlement are not clear, represents either willful ignorance or gross financial negligence. For a school with one of the top accounting departments in the country to not understand this basic financial picture here is incomprehensible, unless, of course, leaders are intentionally not asking questions they don't want the answers to. While Brenda Tracy may have saved Alan Haller from his $95 million Mel Tucker mistake, there will be no Hail Mary to a $150 million facility mistake, just recurring payments which seek to suck money away from student athletes. The irony of a facility and investment such as this is it could result in MSU athletics needing to cut one of the sports in the future to make the debt service payments. It is the athletic equivalent of being house poor because Haller and company are buying a McMansion on McDonald's paycheck. The athletic facility is not the only part of the project which should be seriously questioned. Average hotel occupancy in Lansing over the last 3 years averaged 53%, which is a break-even rate at best for a mid-tier hotel and a money-losing one for a full-service hotel. Maybe someone should check with the top three hospitality school on campus to see if this deal pencils before MSU receives a hotel back it will need to spend more money to maintain. Lastly, if such a project was a sound investment, why is it not being done solely by the private sector without MSU's, I would assume, generous land lease terms? So many obvious questions to anyone who has invested in real estate or developed a hotel, but maybe nobody in leadership wants to ask these questions since the answers will be inconvenient. Do you smell that? It's the smoke of hypocrisy rising from this university's integrity, which is smoldering somewhere along the Red Cedar. I would finish with go green, but those of us in accounting know that you really want to go black in this situation because I see a lot of red coming for this university, and I have to question how we're making such a poor financial decision at this point in time when previously it seemed like we were trying to make good financial decisions. Again, I don't know if it's the leadership or it's just the integrity, but we should and expect this university to do better.
Tom, thank you very much for your comments. President Guskowitz, that concludes this section of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. I'll now turn to Vice President Doug Gage to offer up the gift, grant, and contract report.
Good morning. Chairperson Kelly, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is from January 10, 2025 through March 16th of 2025. The total value for this period is $134,464,368.
Is there a motion to approve the gift, grant, and contract report? All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? The gift, grant, and contract report is approved. Thank you. Now going to ask Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage, to introduce today's research presentation.
So it's our tradition in April that we provide a research speaker from our student body. And so today we have an outstanding undergraduate who will tell you about her journey at MSU. One of the downsides of that is when I look back at my own academic career, how poorly I compare to these students. So today, it's my pleasure to introduce Viona Coutinho. She's an MSU Honors College student, a dedicated researcher who was drawn to MSU from India by our academic attractions. So she came without financial assistance, really a financial advantage at all, but she earned a professorial assistant. She's worked several jobs, and won many scholarships. And she has excelled academically and worked to create really something that goes beyond her own personal interest, which is to create more avenues for undergraduate research for students, particularly women in STEM. She is completing her Bachelor of Science in Genomics and Molecular Genetics with a minor in Mathematics. I mentioned she's earned over a dozen scholarships and prestigious fellowships, including the Genevieve Gillette Fellow. She's a Perrigo Fellow and a Lumiere Research Scholar. She's represented MSU at conferences and internationally at the Berlin Science Week. She's held a number of campus leadership positions as a professional development advisor, a resident assistant, a Beale Botanical Garden ambassador, and volunteer. And she's working on two or three scientific publications for this, but she did more than that. She formed our first undergraduate research journal. So she's the founder and editor-in-chief of that journal, which is, I think, pretty remarkable. It's called SPARC. It's Student Papers and Academic Research Collaborative. And the amazing thing is she's done this in 3 years. Okay, so that, and she's graduating this particular term right now. And she will be pursuing her PhD at Cambridge in the UK and working on regenerative cell research and cloning to advance the treatment of lung disease. So she's here to tell you about her personal journey, and I ask you to please warmly welcome Biona Quitino. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Biona Quitino, an international student and an undergraduate researcher here at MSU. And through sharing my story here today, I want to emphasize the value of education and research, particularly in empowering women. In my family, education is a responsibility. Every woman in three generations has graduated with a bachelor's degree. Every woman in two generations has completed a postgraduate degree. To share why education is so deeply important to me, let me share with you my background and culture. So this is Chikmagalur, my hometown in India. It's India's largest producer of coffee. It is a very rural town, so it surprises most people that many generations of women in our family have high degrees of education. It is all because of this one man, my grandfather. Proud father to four daughters, grandpa to six girls. Grandpa always said to me, as a woman, your independence is your greatest strength. He emphasized academic and financial education, and he said, if you're educated, no one can take it away from you. He introduced me to Dickens and Tolstoy at 7, how to write a check at 6. He would talk endlessly about Nobel laureates and fondly call me by the names of strong women leaders in politics. So with these values and my family's unwavering support, I was empowered to pursue an education that made them proud. My core identity became that of a student. If I could, I would, and I wanted to, be a student for life, study for life. And guess what? I can, through research. That drive to pursue science at world-class research universities is what brought me to the United States, and more specifically, to Michigan State University. MSU expanded the definition of education for me. It wasn't just about learning, it was about access, opportunity, and independence. I came to MSU with the International Tuition Grant and the Honors College Excellence Award, without which studying abroad would have been impossible for me. This university didn't just accept me, it invested in me. MSU is also the only university that offers a major in genomics and molecular genetics, the niche field that is my passion. But what truly sealed the deal for me was being offered the professorial assistantship program through the Honors College. That role combined education with financial independence, fulfilling the very values my grandfather instilled in me. My research career launched early, and in the past 3 years, I have been so privileged to work with and learn from many admirable people on very exciting fields, from epidemiology and public health to generating heart organoids to replacing animal models, to designing and genetically engineering my own protein tools to study disease and cloning like Dolly the sheep. Yes, you heard me right. I have worked with Dr. Jose Cibelli for 2.5 years at MSU's Cellular Reprogramming Laboratory. It was incidentally his research that brought me to MSU. I had read several of Dr. Cibelli's papers as a curious high school student, and today I work with him. Essentially, the question our lab asks is, how can we make more clones? Theoretically, it is so simple. Your 50% your maternal makeup and 50% of you comes from your paternal side. If you want a clone, you would want 100% of your genetic makeup. So you do this by enucleating an egg cell, essentially removing its nucleus. And then you take your donor cell of interest and you transfer its nucleus into this empty egg cell that you created and watch it grow and develop. That's it. That is the theory of cloning. Yet, Dolly was 34 years ago and we haven't made much progress in cloning. So this beautiful image on the left is a photograph of a zebrafish embryo taken from my experiment. The red pixels show critical information highlighting which cells are the best donor nuclei for efficient cloning. This experiment was never attempted in our lab before, and I am the first to describe it. This is a big personal achievement, one that MSU gave me. So why do we want to clone? Rest assured, it is not to create multiple versions of ourselves. Instead, it is one of its most important applications is regenerative medicine. In fact, in my PhD studies, I will explore how to regenerate healthy lung tissue, allowing us to help patients repair damage caused by lung disease. So carrying this wealth of experiences, I returned home after my first year and found one of my friends, also 18 at that time, had had an arranged marriage to a 30-year-old man. She had wanted a degree in psychology. Her family would only allow her to study if she got married. She hoped with strong conviction that her husband's family would let her study if she wouldn't look me in the eye as she spoke with me. That moment changed me. I realized what opportunity meant, and more importantly, what access to opportunity entailed. Then studying abroad in the U.S. no longer felt like a personal pursuit. It became a responsibility. I wasn't studying just for myself anymore. I was studying for all the girls who dreamed of an education but didn't have the access or freedom to pursue it. So I carry that with me in everything I do. This is my motivation to study hard, yes, to keep my grades up, but that's not enough. I want to advocate for education. So I represented MSU as a panelist at the Berlin Science Week to find ways to include more women in STEM leadership. The success of this discussion in reaching masses gave me an insatiable desire to do more. In only 3 years, MSU has greatly impacted me, and as I graduate in 2 weeks now, I hope to leave an impact behind. That brings me to SPARC, Student Papers in Academic Research Collaborative, which I founded with other ambitious Spartans to launch MSU's first undergraduate research journal. SPARC is a platform that highlights student ambition in all its shape and forms. We have a photojournalist who produced a documentary of how it all began. We have a podcast with two very fun and creative gentlemen who want to make academia less intimidating and more fun for college students. We also host bi-weekly journal clubs to mimic grad school life, starting right at the undergrad level. And this isn't all. Our biggest achievement is in just 5 years, we launched our inaugural issue on March 15th, 2025 at the Broad Art Museum. I hold it in my hand as I speak. While we could only afford to print 25 copies, this journal is a testament to what we are capable of doing if we set our minds to it. When we started, a small team was just four. We realized something. We were lucky MSU students. We were fighters, driven, determined, relentless in seeking opportunities. But does it always have to be a fight? And how level is the battleground? Now we are a small team of just 13, yet we represent 9 countries. speak 16 languages amongst ourselves, and we belong to 7 different colleges at MSU. We are as diverse as this university itself, and together we have built something that proves one thing: investing in undergrads is worth it. Even in my own personal story, I came to MSU when I was 17. It was my first time leaving India. I came alone because it was too expensive for my family to travel with me. And I didn't have a working phone. I had very little money in my pocket and none in my bank account. But fast forward 3 years, I paid my spring tuition all on my own. I came here expecting regular college classes, but I'm leaving with having presented at 11 conferences, speaking on 6 panel discussions, appearing on a scientific podcast, and even today, right here, right now, I'm advocating for other students like me, all because MSU believed in me. So I leave you with this: undergraduate research is worth it. Thank you for investing in me and others.
Questions for you, Ona? I got you.
First off, in my 6 years as a trustee, that's the first standing ovation. Doug Gage, could you agree with me for someone that's come and presented? So that speaks volumes. Very impressive, Viona. I can only say that you are inspiring. I can hear it in the passion that you have to change the community in which you come from, and I wish you the most success. I mean, you make me proud.
Thank you.
What our undergraduates are achieving.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, really.
Yes.
Is there an electronic copy of the magazine we might be able to get a hold of?
Yes. In fact, our initial intention was to have it all digitally accessed so anyone can access it. It is also free access. That is what we wanted to do as Spark. So just to make, like, research should be accessible, right? So the digital copies are what we have on our website.
Will you be presenting by any chance over at the Undergraduate Research Forum today?
That's where I'm headed.
All right. Everyone should head to Kellogg after the meeting to see – I'm sorry, Breslin. That's right. Breslin, thank you for the correction. We had to move it into a bigger venue because we're celebrating so many of our undergraduates doing this outstanding work. You said thank you for investing in you. I think that there is a great return on that investment, and so you're going to go off to do great things, flying your Spartan flag proudly, as we know, but you'll always be welcome back home here. So thank you so much, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think we'll now turn to Interim Provost Yaitsko for personnel actions and information reports.
Thank you. Trustees, I present for approval the items on the April 2025 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointments: Jeffrey E. Barrick, PhD, Hanna Professor, Department of Microbiology, Genetics, and Immunology, and Department of Entomology, with tenure, effective August 16, 2025. Alexander M. Chinko, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Finance, with tenure, effective June 1, 2025. Cherry Deng, PhD, Tom and Lupe Itzo, Endowed Professorship, Department of Biomedical Engineering, with tenure, effective July 1, 2025. Megan E. Elwood Madden, PhD, Professor, Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences, with tenure, effective August 16, 2025. Derek J. Harmon, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Management, with tenure, effective August 16, 2025. Charles G. Nathanson, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Finance, with tenure, effective June 1st, 2025. Katarina Peche, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Kinesiology, with tenure, effective August 16, 2025. Kang Shia, Ph.D., Professor, Department of Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences, with tenure, effective April 14, 2025. I present for approval the following personnel action. I'm pleased to recommend Marcio A. Oliveira, Ph.D., Vice Provost, Teaching and Learning Innovation, and Associate Professor, Department of Kinesiology, with tenure, effective March 1st, 2025. Also included in your materials are information reports on academic personnel actions.
Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions? Second. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? All right, the personnel actions are approved, and I want to be the first to congratulate our newly tenured and promoted faculty.
So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause. All right, we'll begin our committee reports, and we'll start by asking Trustee Pierce to present the Committee on Budget and Finance. Trustee Pierce.
Thank you. As chair of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby adopts the basic residence hall double housing and dining rate of $12,698 for residents who select the Silver Unlimited Meal Plan for the 2025-26 academic year. Be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby adopts a 5% rate increase for 1855 Place and University Village Apartments for the 2025-26 academic year.
Is there a second?
Support.
Aaron Carter is available for discussion if anyone has any questions. Seeing none, all those in favor? Oh, yes. Yes.
I don't think I'm out of order, am I?
No.
Okay. So as my fellow trustees and administrators know, this is a 2.9% increase for those living in the dorms, which I'm not in general opposed to. I early on asked for some other options. I asked if we went to 4%, would this help with deferred maintenance? Would this help with flattening the curve of these, for lack of a better word, wild increases in dorm rates, because I think the last 2 years were over 6% each year. So I just asked that question, wanted that information. I asked more than once, never got the info. So for that reason, I'm voting no, because, you know, maybe it should be 2.1%, maybe it should be 2.9%, 3.2. I don't know, because I never got the info that I asked as part of my fiduciary responsibility as a trustee. I also have serious concerns with, and I asked about this, and I didn't get the response I thought I needed. We are going to spend $1.7 million on new seating for Breslin. We are asking our students who are living in the dorms to spend $1.7 million for our basketball arena. And I don't feel the answer I got was satisfactory, so that's why I'm voting no. Thanks.
Any further discussion?
Just a couple thoughts. Similarly, I'm not a hard no, but I'm not supporting this right now, just because we couldn't get to consensus yesterday on what the right number was. And I'd like to echo the issue on Breslin. Like, I really would like to see that burden of Breslin taken out of RHS, because I think if most people in the state knew that when they paid their room and board bills that some of that money was going to the athletics arena, which is actually the student centers used for other things, I get it, but we need to take a hard look at that as a board because of the pressures that are consistently put on families as education becomes more expensive. So we weren't able to spend enough time on that yesterday to satisfy me. So again, I'm not a hard no. I realize there's cost pressures on RHS, but I'm just, we wanted a little more time to study that. So I just, that's why I'm not supporting this right now. And the last comment I'll make is we need to take a hard look at the 2-year requirement for living in the dorms, because that leads to my next point, which I brought up yesterday, and it's a priority for me, and we'll continue to work on it. One of the most important things as far as quality of life for our students on campus is their living experience. And if I've heard from one person, I've heard from 1,000 that many of the MSU dorms need updating. that is a competitive advantage for us. It's something that is that we need to do, and I'd like to understand that in the like this rate increase in the bigger context of how that's going to work over the next 5 to 10 years. So again, not a hard no. It's just wasn't able to get enough information yesterday to satisfy me. So those are my comments.
Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor? Opposed?
No.
Can I, I just want to do a roll call vote. Trustee Behar Cook?
Aye.
Trustee Bailo?
No.
Trustee Deno? Trustee Kanaki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee Pierce?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebay?
Yes.
Trustee Vassa?
No.
The vote is 5-3. The motion passes.
Okay. I'd now like to turn to Chair Tebay for the next item.
On behalf of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University authorizes the administration to proceed with the project entitled Spartan Gateway District. Be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby authorizes the administration to enter into a long-term ground lease development agreement and all other documents required in connection with public-private partnership portion of the Spartan Gateway District upon such terms and conditions as may be acceptable to the president or designee. The Spartan Gateway District is expected to include the development of a hotel, restaurant, mixed-use building, housing, parking facilities, and a future academic and or healthcare development zone. Be it further resolved that the Board of Trustees authorizes administration to proceed with the project entitled Olympic Sports Arena with a budget of $150 million.
Second.
Dan Bowman is here. Is available for discussion if anyone has any questions.
Let me just say before we call for the vote that I am going to recuse myself from the vote.
Any discussion? Any questions?
I got just a couple. Let me preface this by saying I said this at the last meeting. I want to make it clear, like, you guys are our constituents, right? Like we trustees don't work here. We're the oversight. So we're asked to approve certain things. So my firm belief is in the interest of transparency. You know, when we vote for things, we explain to you our position and you can draw your own conclusions. Everyone is served better that way. On this project, I'm a no right now. And again, it's not a hard no. Similarly, we weren't able yesterday to get enough information. I applaud the initiative on the thinking to move our campus forward. But my discomfort is just rooted right now in a couple of places. One is that this is a general fund funded project, and there's some significant stressors coming on that fund in terms of academic programs, which may come under question in the coming months and years. And because it doesn't cash flow, you heard a couple of different opinions one way and the other this morning. You know, it's something that deserves robust discussion. And I'll compliment our team, you know, and also the development team locally of Pat Gillespie and the developer, Bart Mallow, for the arena are quite capable and wonderful people to work with. So it's not that. It's just we're building this. It's a huge commitment on our general fund. You know, I'm a team player, so I will support this thing 100% if it gets approved and try to ensure its success because it is exciting. But, you know, my values and my conscience dictate that because I'm unsure of the financial underwriting at this moment in time under it, I just can't support it today. So I hope that makes sense because I want to do whatever I can to ensure our success. But my wish is that we're able to take that stress off the general fund, get more through athletics and private donations, which I will compliment President Guskowitz on working on. He's committed to try to get significant donations for this. And the last thing I'm going to say is, I do share the excitement for its support for our Olympic sports. Like MSU sports and college sports in general are more than just football and basketball. And no one is a bigger football and basketball fan than I am. But whether they're club sports or intramural sports or varsity sports, these athletes are some of the most incredible people, you know, and it's part of their mental and physical well-being to be part of those programs here. So in this particular instance, we're putting three to compete in their wrestling, gymnastics, and volleyball, but only two are actually going to be housed in there. You know, and we heard yesterday that Jennison is on his last legs and this and that and the other thing. And I don't know if that's entirely true because Jennison's not going anywhere as far as I know. And maybe we need to look at reinvesting in there. But I want to make sure our wrestling program is taken care of. They're going to compete in here. I think we need to take a hard look at putting wrestling in this arena for their home, too, to ensure their future success. if the arena is a $150 million project and we can swallow on that, we probably can swallow on the incremental cost to do it right if we're going to do it. So those are my reservations. Again, I'm not a hard no. I think it's an exciting development, and I just wanted to explain my vote to you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Just one comment. Mindy, the first speaker, talked about initiative, innovation, and courage, and I think that this project has all three. Since I've been on this board, we've tried very hard to listen to Lansing, to East Lansing, to the needs of the community, and to respond. Trustee Deno, Trustee Tebay, and I have been in meetings with the mayor and other folks to talk about what the needs of the city are. And I think this is an exciting project. I do have a concern about it being funded out of the general fund. And I'm so excited about the campaign that Kim Tobin and Advancement are launching. And I'm grateful that you are, because this has been in the works for about 3 years, and that you're taking it and making it happen. I'm grateful to you, President Guskowitz, and I'm going to count on all of you to give so that the general fund is not taxed, because we do need the project, and we also need to preserve our dollars. We have many projects, and our students don't need to bear any responsibility for our innovation, courage, and initiative on this particular project. So I'm looking forward to the campaign and for Spartans to come and give so that this could be a successful venture.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll take the vote then. All those in favor?
Could I interrupt for a... No. I know it's out of order.
Sorry, this is out of order. Please.
I understand it's out of order, but I'm here for future generations.
Sorry.
I'm the founder of the Campus Sustainability Report.
Please sit down.
We have not talked about the ecological impact of this decision when the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists 2 months ago put together that we are 89 seconds from doomsday, and we keep building more stuff. We need to hold our footprint smaller. The president has come from the university in North Carolina, where Cynthia Shea did a remarkable job.
I appreciate. Please sit down.
On the decision is all I ask.
Please sit down.
In line to be able to speak a formal.
Please sit down. Thank you.
So all those in favor? Opposed?
No.
Okay. Any abstentions?
That'll be me.
Yep. Three more. Okay. So the motion passes. Thank you. We'll turn it back, I think, to Trustee Pierce.
Oh, I thought I was done. Okay. As chair of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University authorizes the administration to issue general revenue bonds to finance capital projects, refinance existing debt, and pay cost of issuance. The amount of proceeds generated by the bond issuance for capital projects and cost of issuance, is not to exceed $362 million plus the amount necessary to refund existing debt. Of course, our team, led by Lisa Frace, will watch the rates before any issuance is done.
Is there a second?
Support.
Any discussion? Lisa Frace is here if anyone has any questions. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes.
And then I'll just say that the committee received updates on the fiscal year budget outlook as well as on our investment portfolio. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We'll now move to Trustee Renee Kanacki Jefferson for the committee report on academic affairs.
Thank you. On behalf of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I first move that the Board of Trustees hereby approves the rescission of BOT 704, Student Disorderly Conduct.
Is there a second?
And Secretary Fletcher is available if there are any questions.
Yeah, I would just clarify with this that it is just a removal due to a duplication with other policies and university ordinances.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes. Thank you.
Okay, moving forward, on behalf of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I now move that the Board of Trustees hereby approves revisions to BOT 202, Board of Trustees Presidential Performance Evaluation Policy, as indicated in Attachment A. And again, Secretary Fletcher is here for questions or maybe to just give a brief explanation.
Yeah, the real small change here is just a change to the suggested timeline of the chair's report out to align with the board's calendar and provide more flexibility for the board with its scheduling of that readout. So,
all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes.
On behalf of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the Board of Trustees hereby approves the changes to Ordinance 9, Aircraft, Ordinance 20, Curfew, Ordinance 34, Accidents, Traffic, Ordinance 35, Administration, Traffic, Ordinance 37, Wildlife, and Michigan State University Fishing Guidelines, Officers and Organizational of the Board, as indicated in Attachments A through F.
Again, Stephen Fletcher is available for any discussion. Anything you want to add?
Oh. I think everyone's heard enough from me for the day. The real changes here, this is part of the cleanup to the university's ordinances that was first done in September of last year. So continued updating of the ordinances, reaffirming the university's authority around drones, as well as potentially expanding potential fishing opportunities on the banks of the Red Cedar River. So I do want to thank the Red Cedar River Sustainability Committee for its work related to that. So thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes.
And then I have one additional motion. On behalf of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the Board of Trustees adopts the proposed changes to Article 4 of the Board of Trustees bylaws reflected in Attachment A. And once again, Secretary Fletcher is available to provide a brief explanation and answer any questions.
The two sort of adjustments to the bylaws here would remove the necessity for a confirmatory vote of the chair and vice chair. Again, that is an automatic process under the bylaws that is dictated, so removes a ceremonial vote, and then again, alignment with the board's meeting calendar. So,
thank you. All those in favor?
As my fellow trustees know, I'm voting no on this because I feel the chair, vice chair should be elected positions. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor? Opposed?
No.
No.
Need a roll call?
Yeah. Let's do a roll call. Trustee Behar Cook?
Aye.
Trustee Balow? No. Trustee Dano? Trustee Kanaki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee Pierce?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebay?
Yes.
Trustee Vassa? The vote is 5-3. The amendment passes.
Okay, thank you.
The committee also received updates regarding enrollment and collective bargaining and unionization. We received an update from Drs. Bree Holes and Anna Lesage, who provided a presentation to the committee on the Ethics Institute's efforts. And then is Dr. Glenn Chambers here to present some? Yeah, wonderful. So I want to introduce the interim dean of the Honors College, Dr. Glenn Chambers, to share some student honorifics.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to present the students who've won many of the prestigious awards. Many of you probably have seen the emails from me over the course of the past months about the various nominations that are coming out of the Distinguished Scholarships and Awards Office that's housed in the Honors College. It's not specifically for Honors College students, and so it serves the entire university. And so while most of the students are Honors College students, that's not always the case. And so we have two awards where the students aren't able to be here, and that's the Schwarzman Scholars Program, which selects students from around the world for a fully funded one-year master's degree and leadership program in China. And that student is Mustafa Ahmed Sayed, who is MSU's Schwarzman Scholar for this year. We also have another student who won the Critical Language Scholarship that's housed at, that comes out of the U.S. State Department, and that's for immersive summer opportunity to study languages. And the winner was Tanya Iritskaya, and she will be studying Arabic in Morocco this summer. And the remaining students who I brought with me, and I'll give them an opportunity to briefly introduce themselves, are the five Goldwater scholars who President Guskowitz mentioned in his earlier comments. And this is unprecedented, not only for MSU, but in I don't think any university has had five Goldwater scholars in 1 year. And so these students and MSU are to be commended for that. And Goldwater is for outstanding undergraduates committed to a research career in STEM fields with the potential for significant future contribution in their chosen field. And so I've asked the students to come and give their names, their rank at the university, their major, and their hometown.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Caden Wade. I am a junior in the Crop and Soil Sciences program, and I hail from Wheatland, Wyoming.
Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Brodsky. I'm majoring in advanced mathematics and computational mathematics, and I'm from Cortland Manor, New York.
Hello, I'm Jesse Sandu. I'm a chemical physics major, and my hometown is Jefferson City, Missouri.
Hi, my name is Sam Schulte. I'm a junior in chemical engineering, coming from Brighton, Michigan.
Hi, I'm Grace Showerman. I'm a junior studying astrophysics and computational and applied mathematics, and I'm from South Lyon, Michigan.
Wow. Thank you.
And on that very positive note, that concludes my report.
Wonderful. Thank you, and congratulations to our Goldwater Scholars. You make us proud. Fly your Spartan flag wherever your journey takes you. Thank you so much, and congratulations. With that, we will turn to Trustee Brianna Scott for the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance.
Thank you, President Guskowitz. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the Board of Trustees of Michigan State University hereby approves a service agreement with Margosorbio Biomedical Corporation. Hopefully I didn't screw that up too bad.
Is there a second?
Support.
And Doug Gage is here and available for any questions. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes.
Additionally, the committee received information on the external auditor's report on the scope and of the annual audit plan and a single audit and received a risk management update. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Scott. And we'll now turn to Trustee Kelly Tebe for her Committee on Student Life and Culture report.
Thank you. The Student Life and Culture Committee received presentations on student athlete support and fraternity sorority life. In his 21st year at MSU and 36th year overall in intercollegiate athletics, Todd Edwards is in his eighth year as the executive director of the Student Athlete Support Services. This appointment follows serving as director of academic services for student athletes as well as head academic coordinator for the Spartan football program. He oversees academic services for MSU's 23 varsity programs, which includes detailed monitoring of degree progress and eligibility. The Student Athlete Support Services Unit also coordinates career services and community outreach for all student athletes. I'm excited to say that accompanying Todd today is Carson Cooper from our men's basketball team, who is a junior studying management in Broad College. Carson is from Jackson, Michigan, and will discuss how he has benefited from the Student Athlete Support Services. Thank you so much, Carson, for joining us.
Well, on behalf of our staff over at the Clarabelle Smith Center, thanks so much for having us here today and for having our student to share his experience.
Our staff, as you can gather, and for those that have visited before, is very invested and has a daily impact in all of our students' lives and all those areas that Trustee Teave mentioned. We had an exceptional fall semester academically that I'll mention before I bring Carson up, in that we had a 3.46 semester GPA in the fall, which is our highest ever, as our students continue to perform not only on the courts and the fields and various competitive fields, but also off, and are doing a fantastic job as they represent the university. Within that group, or to bolster those numbers, the reason for those numbers, for the first time ever, all of our teams had a 3.0 semester GPA and came out of the fall with a 3.0 cumulative GPA. First time all of our teams have ever done that. So among that group, our men's basketball program more than pulled their weight. They had an all-time high semester of 3.45. And our student that's here with us today played a big part in that. Some of you have probably seen his performance, a little glimmer of his student life as he represents us on the basketball court. But he does a fantastic job and performs at a high level on the court and a high level off of it. He is our men's basketball representative on our student athlete advisory committee. He's two-time academic All Big Ten and 2025 academic All District, which is no small feat. And he's a Big Ten champ. Carson Cooper.
President Guskowitz, Board of Trustees, thanks for having me today. I just want to speak on the experience that I had as a student athlete here. It's been nothing but positive, and the environment that we're in as student athletes is nothing but supportive. The amount of help that we get from Todd Edwards and especially Hannah Roberts, who is in charge of our basketball program, is massive, and especially with the addition of the with the four schools out west and all that, the travel is upped, and with that week where we have to take out west, you know, that's time away from school, that's time away from home. So that's a new thing that we had to deal with this year, and I think the Hannah Roberts did a great job of handling that with giving us the support that we need on the road, and then also giving us the support when it comes to tutoring and the nonstop help that they have when they're in the offices, and that we can come in and continue to have the support and study halls and make sure that she can stay on top of us when we're on the road and not get too carried away in just the basketball life, and stay on top of the schoolwork so we can still excel in that area. So.
Great.
Thank you.
Go green.
Yeah, go white. Yes. Thank you for being such a great ambassador, Carson. This concludes my report.
Great. I just want to also say how much I've enjoyed getting to know you, Carson. You're an outstanding student athlete here, and going to get again continue on to do great things. Todd, thanks for all that you and your team do. One of the first things I learned about Michigan State as I was researching this incredible place was the fact that we were the first university in the country to have a freestanding student success center specifically for our student athletes. I think about 26 years ago, if I'm correct. So, and you and your team do an amazing job, and speaks to why our student athletes are having great success on the courts and fields and et cetera, but also in the classroom. So thanks for all that you do. So, great. Okay. With that, I think we will turn to the liaison reports.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say this in my report. I apologize. Before you all come up and give your reports, I just want to say thank you so much for all of the time that you've put in. We have enjoyed working and getting to know all of you over the last year and 2 years for Aaron. And we're so excited. Connor, congratulations on your graduation. We're excited for you. And we also, on the table, in those little under the black thingies, there's a little token of our appreciation for each of you. And so with that, I'll turn it over to you. Miles, you want to go first?
Sure thing. Happy to. Good morning, Board of Trustees. Thanks for your time today. I have just a few quick exciting updates to share about the Council of Graduate Students. So first off, I am really excited to announce that we have a new executive board for the 2025 to 2026 academic year. We elect new graduate and professional students to our board every March, and the new members that we have are Priyanka Kothari, who I believe y'all got to meet yesterday. She'll be our new president from the College of Education.
We also have Nick Heilman, who will be our Vice President of Internal Affairs from the College of Natural Science. Paige Baisley, another Vice President from the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources. Xavier Kitcher will be our Treasurer from the College of Education. And Anna Lynn will be our Secretary from College of Law and College of Business. So representing quite a wide range of colleges and graduate and professional students at MSU. All of these individuals have incredibly strong track records of service to the grad and professional student community, so I am fully confident that they will perform exceptionally well in their duties, and I know that they look forward to working with all of you as well. And second off, I'm excited to say that our recent COGS tax referendum passed. As a reminder, COGS is a tax-collecting student organization, and as such, we are required to hold a vote amongst all graduate and professional students every 3 years to determine whether students want to continue paying the COGS tax. In this past week, graduate and professional students overwhelmingly voted in favor of continuing to fund the activities of COGS with that tax, with 87% of the votes being in favor. I think this strong majority is good evidence that graduate and professional students recognize the value of the Council of Graduate Students, our services, and the work that we do to represent their voices in university committees. And so I deeply appreciate the work of everyone that took the time to vote and for ASMSU to help us logistically hold the vote, and for all those that helped us spread the word. I think a strong reason why we got this outpouring of support from our students is because of the large array of services we provide to graduate and professional students, both in this year and in recent years. Just a few of the things we've done in this past year, just as a sort of quick summary of the 24 to 25 academic year for y'all. We provided conference awards to approximately 60 graduate and professional students who have traveled to about 20 different states and 6 different countries to present their scholarly work. We've also collaborated with the graduate school to provide professional development awards to another approximately 60 students to attend workshops and help them develop new skills to further their degree. We've also provided event funding to about 25 different graduate student organizations to host their own social and professional development events, so attending research, organizing research symposia, as well as just promoting belonging within their own individual communities. We also have hosted the largest graduate academic conference we have had in our 17-year history of running the conference, with 110 different presentations from graduate and professional students, spanning programs all across MSU, and students even came in from different MSU campuses across the state. So greatly appreciative of all the support and involvement there. And this year, we've also launched entirely new services, such as providing new support awards that are intended to improve the longevity of our graduate student organizations, reduce turnover, and a new item loan program to provide these organizations with the resources that they need to organize their own events, professional development, or social events within their own departments and programs. I'm incredibly proud of what we have accomplished this year and look forward to seeing what the next board accomplishes. This is my last Board of Trustees meeting as the COGS president. I defended my PhD a couple weeks ago and be moving on. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'll be moving on to my next position. But I just wanted to say that it has been the absolute honor of my graduate career to get to serve my peers in this capacity. Thank you all very much for your time. Happy Graduate and Professional Student Appreciation Week as well. And go Green.
Go White.
And thank you, Maz. I think that vote is a reflection of you and your team's leadership. So well done.
Thank you.
Connor?
All right. Good morning. At our last meeting of the General Assembly, ASMSU passed several pieces of important legislation. Bill 6192 condemns anti-Semitism on university campuses and advocates for the promotion of education on anti-Semitism at Michigan State. Bill 61108 advocates for the implementation of a Native student living learning community on campus in order to uplift and support our Native student population. In a similar vein, 61109 calls on the university to approve the language of the land acknowledgement plaque and to see the conclusion of the years-long project. Bill 61110 advocates for the implementation of course marking so that students are aware of any extra prices associated with classes and are not burned by surprise fees. Bill 61115 advocates to increase the number of recipients of the Detroit Promise Scholarship in order to alleviate financial burdens of students who want to attend higher education institutions. And lastly, Bill 61118 calls advocates to hold MSU accountable for the sending of information of urgent matters to ensure the safety of students across campus. As we soon end the academic year, I want to do a recap of the work ASMSU has done over the year to help support our student body. The 61st session of the General Assembly ended with our representatives passing 119 pieces of legislation to uplift our students. This General Assembly took an interest in many different avenues of advocacy, both on and off campus, from advocacy relating to improving the health and well-being of Spartans by addressing mental health and food insecurity, to protecting our colleges who focus on the arts and humanities, to ensuring our campus stays green by investing in sustainable initiatives, to protecting students from hazing, and to reaffirm the need for divestment at MSU. There's been a ton of work done. ASMSU's Student Allocation Board has had a busy and productive year as well, funding RSOs and Cores and CAMS groups this year. ASMSU was able to fund 147 RSOs, totaling over $340,000. This enabled our entire Spartan community to thrive and come together to do the things that we love. We also allocated over $350,000 to the Council of Racial and Ethnic Students and the Council of Advocacy for Marginalized Students this year. This allowed us to sponsor some amazing events, like the North American Indigenous Student Organization's annual Powwow of Love, the Asian Pacific American Student Organization's annual Cultural Vogue, and so many others. On top of this, the General Assembly also allocated over $47,500 in funding to our campus partners, who help students across campus. Some of these partners include the Gender and Sexuality Campus Center, Women's Student Services, the Center for Survivors, and the MSU Office of Sustainability. These allocations have also allowed for several events and celebrations to happen across campus, including the Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta Commemorative Celebration, the HEAL Sexual Health Conference, and the upcoming 2025 Juneteenth Celebrations and the MSU Union Centennial Events. We've also been busy at work ensuring that students have the services they need to succeed. ASMSU Safe Ride Service has been able to complete 7,264 rides this year, with us ensuring the safe transportation for 9,948 students. We've also given around 7,000 blue books for students for free so that they can take their exams without need to spend more money. From both semesters, we've rented out 686 calculators for students to use for their classes, and we've also assisted students with printing costs as we have printed over 11,500 pages for free for students. Lastly, our student legal services team has been working roughly around 4,200 hours both semesters consulting and representing our students. Lastly, next week, the 62nd session Office of the President will be elected. This means that this will be my final board meeting as the president of ASMSU. As I leave my position and pass it on to my successor, I wish them the best of luck next year and hope that the board is able to continue relations with ASMSU and the student body to ensure the proper representation of all Spartans. In times like now, support for our students is needed the most, especially as university DEI programs are closed and attacked, student financial aid is in limbo, and now student visas are being rescinded. Further, we are in a crisis of academic freedom and free speech, as we see students across the nation and at MSU being detained for expressing their right to protest injustices both in the United States and internationally. MSU has had a long history of student activism, from protesting for civil rights to the Vietnam War and even the era of South African apartheid. And student voices have historically been a catalyst of change. These voices should never be undermined, but rather uplifted, even if we do not agree with what they have to say. As the board and university administration, it is your responsibility to ensure that students are protected and the right to education and free speech is not hindered. For the last time, this concludes my report. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope to see positive change and protections for our students.
And Aaron, you're graduating too, aren't you? I missed that. I'm very sorry. Congratulations on your graduation.
I appreciate it. Well, good morning, everyone. As the year wraps up, I want to spend a little bit of time sharing about the 55th session of the Residence Halls Association. This has been a very positive and impactful year for RHA, with record high engagement from hall governments, neighborhood caucuses, and CORES and CAMS groups. There are currently 37 active groups working under or alongside RHA. This is the highest number of active groups since COVID. This year, RHA was able to either host or collaborate on over 30 events for on-campus students, providing opportunities for education, engagement, and community. Notable events include a reproductive health event, the spring seasonal showcase coming this Tuesday, which allows registered student organizations to promote themselves and raise funding, and various movie nights where students are able to see advanced screenings of new movies. These events have also seen record high amounts of participation, showing an amazing amount of engagement from our on-campus students. Funding was also a huge portion of what we accomplished this year. Through our Committee on Budget, RHA was able to provide $60,000 in funding to 36 different student groups to promote their own initiatives or events. Some of our leadership team members also have their own personal sponsorship funds, through which we were able to provide 127 sponsorships, totaling to around $290,000 to campus groups and departments. This funding helped things like providing menstruation kits to community members, running welcome events like participation and Fun at the Mun, and supporting various cultural heritage events. We have also been able to use our funding to provide a free campus streaming service, technology rentals, and professional development events. As I mentioned, RHA has seen the highest number of active groups since COVID. What I am the most proud of is that every single one of our queer and Black caucuses are officially active this year. This is the first time I've ever seen this happen. The Black caucuses were able to partner up with BSA this semester to plan and throw a Black caucus mixer, allowing Black students a space to meet each other and get involved in their neighborhood. Through this event, the Black caucuses were able to get 177 new interested students and grow even further. We have completed our elections process and have a strong team going into the 56th session. Our new president, Lauren, is here today. Wave at everyone, Lauren. Sorry. She has been with RHA all 3 years. She has been at MSU, and I know she will do great things in the role. I'm very excited for all of you to get to know her. This is also my last Board of Trustees meeting. I will be graduating in 2 weeks and heading on to get my master's degree in social work. With that, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to be in this space. I appreciate your time and attention to the concerns of on-campus students, and I encourage you to continue keeping your focus on students as the core of this university. Thank you.
And our newest member, make sure you introduce yourself and your degrees too.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. And my name is Divya Lakshmi. You can call me Divya. I'm a junior majoring in computer science with minors in mathematics and entrepreneurship. And I'll be serving as the at-large student liaison for the academic year 2025-2026. Some of the things that I plan to look at this upcoming year is I want to begin by solidifying existing and creating new channels of student feedback and input, including but not limited to reaching out to student organizations and groups, conducting digital and in-person surveys, and also establishing a podcast for students to talk about their experiences in student life and engagement. I also want to focus on advocating for more student mental health, inclusivity, academic and professional support for students nearing their graduation, and increasing student awareness to facilities and support provided by MSU. I look forward to working with the board, the faculty, and other student liaisons and serving the Spartan community at large. Thank you.
Thank you, Divya. We're looking forward to working with you.
If I may just, I want to thank all of you for your hard work. I mentioned this the other night at the ASMSU's Leadership Award Celebration, but you do amazing work. You're outstanding in the classroom, and then all the extracurricular leadership efforts that you put forward is really important to the campus. You helped to onboard me, a little over a year ago, and so I'm grateful. So Aaron, Miles, and Connor, congratulations on your upcoming graduation, and Divya, I'm looking forward to working alongside you to help move MSU forward, so thanks. So now we're going to turn over to the faculty liaisons.
Great, thank you. Good morning. April is always such a terrific time of this semester. While an incredibly busy time of year, it is also a time of recognitions, as we've already seen today, celebrations in the approaching end of the semester. In my own college, the College of Natural Sciences, we just celebrated recognitions of terrific alumni, including one of the founders of NutraSuite, and had many alumni back for our Classes Without Quizzes, which focused upon AI, and yesterday and today have more distinguished alumni back as part of our College Advisory Board. These alumni make us really proud to be at MSU and to know that we have such a legacy of incredible alumni who continue to engage. It is the MSU way. This month is the MSU Science Festival, and it was terrific to see so many of our faculty and students involved in hosting booths in our STEM building. We estimated about 2,500 participants, at least in a number of areas, far more than the 400 participants from last year. At the same time, I was happy to be a part of the proud parents who descended upon campus for Admitted Students Day last week. Proud because I will have a new Spartan in the family. My daughter just committed to come to MSU in the fall, just like the president's daughter as well. I want to draw your attention to the University Undergraduate Research and Arts Forum, URAF. We've already mentioned it, but I want to mention it again at Breslin, where many hundreds of students will be sharing about their research and creative activities in which they have engaged. And speaking of amazing students, we've already heard about the amazing Barry Goldwater Scholars. And I can tell you, because I was on the National Selection Committee, not on anything with MSU students, but I can tell you, having seen students from across the country, we should be so incredibly proud because our students are among the top of the cream of the crop. So exciting to recognize them and know just how great our students are on the national level. But this also really requires outstanding faculty mentorship and faculty support networks. They are so critical to the support of the Goldwater Scholars as well as the students participating in URAF. So I certainly want to acknowledge the faculty who have supported all of these students. All of these activities require significant staff leadership and organizations that I mentioned, the Breslin activity today and others, and we want to thank all those who have been involved. And I also want to acknowledge our graduating student leaders. I congratulate all of them. And I want to say particularly acknowledge Dr. Roberts, who not only completed his PhD, but he told me this morning that he will be headed to the University of California, Berkeley, and with an NSF graduate fellowship. So congratulations. Now, changing gears, not all is positive, as we know. As I noted to the members of the Board of Trustees yesterday, it has been a particularly tense time for faculty with all of the federal changes and significant unknowns. One of the things we discussed was our tremendous concerns over the rescinded visas. Interim Provost Yaitsko provided a detailed overview of the situation, and we encouraged a broader discussion, particularly with our international student staff and faculty. We really appreciate the comments he made and the take he had on that, and I think that will be very helpful for everyone in the community. Concerns remain among faculty in terms of federal funding, with some faculty fully dependent upon funding for their entire or partial support, but also with their research teams largely supported by federal grants. While there are still grants coming in, there are many concerns regarding renewals, continuations, some grants that have been dropped, and of course those who are pursuing new grants, and how this support is the support for so many of our graduate students, some of our undergraduate students, as well as our research associates. The concerns resonate across our students and research associates as well, who are wondering about futures not only in academia, but even in science and some of the other areas that are funded in general, or if they need to leave the country. I was on a panel several days ago, and there was discussion in terms of, you know, encouraging undergraduate students to go to Europe or Canada for graduate school. I do think this is very highly disturbing. It's great that students seek opportunities, but truly, this is a time of potential brain drain. We just really have to take a lot of attention to that. Across the country, we are seeing graduate programs rescind student offers, some not even making offers, and some significantly reducing the numbers of offers being made. We have seen countries, including the European Union, Germany, and Australia, share intentions of recruiting our workforce to their countries. And some faculty are indeed contemplating these opportunities, and some of them are even contemplating whether or not they should continue in the academic realm, or even some of them in science. This is of tremendous concern. In response to these issues, the Faculty Senate will be asked to support next Tuesday a resolution that the chairs of the Faculty Senates of all 10 Big Ten universities have been working on regarding the current challenges that higher ed is presently facing. We will provide an update after our Senate meeting on Tuesday. If you have seen the Rutgers Big Ten statement, this is a statement initially proposed by Rutgers, but this is not the statement that we are pursuing in terms of the Big Ten. We wanted to have a bipartisan statement, and that is what we are pursuing rather than the partisan one from Rutgers. In regards to One Health, we did have a discussion with the board in regards to this. We just wanted to continue to make sure that there is a very broad scope, which the president has outlined in terms of One Health. While it is the potential merger of colleges, it is so much more. We have dynamic faculty across colleges who are well engaged in health education, research, and care, and we look forward to their broad engagement. The Faculty Senate on Tuesday will be considering a resolution in support of a statement made by the College of Human Medicine and the College of Osteopathic Medicine in terms of the potential merger of the colleges, and they do have some ask in terms of greater details regarding the potential college merger. I've talked to the president, and I'm sure that this is going to be no issue at all in terms of putting all this together, but nonetheless, there is the more specific details that will be coming. The faculty have been working on many updated policies as well as improving the support of faculty. We will be hearing updates from our faculty committees over the next month, and we will provide updates in June at the board meeting there. Our faculty volunteers work tirelessly on matters that impact everything from curriculum changes, teaching, research, and programs, as well as programs and initiatives related to our students. As this is the last meeting of the academic year, I want to acknowledge all of the faculty who are so key to MSU's mission. I particularly want to acknowledge Jamie Allen, our chair of UCFA, and our faculty leadership team, our ALMs, who spend a lot of time devoted to the MSU mission and really caring for faculty and faculty concerns. We have all been reelected, good or bad news to some. We have all been reelected and look forward to another year of working on behalf of the faculty and the university. So thank you.
We'll now turn to the faculty, to our chair's report. Chair Tebe.
Thank you. First, I'd like to congratulate the 271 students who have received the Board of Trustees Award. This award recognizes their achievement of attaining a perfect GPA and the highest scholastic average one can receive, a 4.0. These students will also be acknowledged during the spring commencement ceremonies and receive a cord highlighting their accomplishments. Excuse me. The president had mentioned the exciting news this week from the U.S. and News and World Report of our education programs, but I also want to congratulate the Eli Broad College of Business. Their graduate-level supply chain management program is ranked number 2 this year, and the university maintains its number 1 ranking for the supply chain management in the undergraduate level. I also just want to say I'm very excited. It's my favorite time of year is graduation year. I will be attending many graduations. It's always my favorite thing to do in the spring, and I look forward to seeing all of you, and I want to say congratulations to all of our graduates. That concludes my comments.
Thank you very much, Chair Tebe. And I going back on the 4.0 awards, I believe we do have a slide, if I'm correct, with the names of the award winners just quickly to pull up. So.
Because I know it's always
well.
Oh, we have music this year. Wonderful.
Next set of remarks from Vice Chair Scott. So we're going on to trustee comments. So Vice Chair Scott.
Thank you. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. All right. So I have a few comments that are prepared, and I will start off with first wishing the Spartan community a very happy Earth Month. I know the university has some very exciting events planned for this month and to celebrate the 55th anniversary of Earth Day, which is April 22nd. MSU's leadership, research, and innovation efforts towards sustainable goals has been continuously recognized through several national recognition programs, including achieving a top 25 impact ranking in a Times Higher Education last year. So, woo, yay! Another exciting month is we are celebrating Pride Month. I know Pride Month is traditionally celebrated in June, but MSU celebrates it this month while we still have everyone on campus. I know there are a number of different events and ways our community can be involved this month, but a special shout out to the Gender and Sexuality Campus Center and the Alliance of Queer and Ally Students. Both groups have spearheaded two signature events already this month, the Pride Prom and the annual Lavender Reception, which I heard turned out really well. Lots more in that part in the next couple of weeks. And next, some very exciting news. I don't know how many of you are on, like, Instagram. There's this whole thing that goes on, and I'm always, like, glued to it, watching medical students all over the United States, and their parents are all in the background, and they're, like, opening an envelope. Who knows what I'm talking about? And then these medical students, either they look super sad or they're really happy. Most are happy, right? So it's match day. And this is a very special time of the year for fourth-year medical students where all of their wishes and dreams, everything that they've worked for, is all in an envelope, right? Their future. And there's lots of applications, interviews, sleepless nights over the months that precede this, a match day for our College of Human Medicine and our College of Osteopathic Medicine was an overwhelming success. Match day is where the medical students learn where they will be spending their next several years completing their medical training. We have 480 Spartans matched this year, 308 which will stay in the state of Michigan, and the others, I don't know where you're going, but hopefully you will come back, and we love to see that. Congratulations to the College of Osteopathic Medicine, which celebrated a 98% match rate. I don't know where that compares, but I got to imagine that's really phenomenal. For the students going into specialties such as anesthesiology, dermatology, family medicine, neurology, and others. Congratulations to the College of Human Medicine, which celebrated a 99.5% match rate. The top specialty students plan to pursue our internal medicine, family medicine, psychiatry, which we all need, and surgery. So congratulations to them. Miles, you kept that kind of to yourself, so thank you for outing him, Angela, today about this really huge accomplishment. Congratulations to you. I hope you come back. I really do. But, man, you're so humble. Go you. And I just want to just thank all of you, Connor, Aaron, Miles, congratulating you on your graduations, but Kevin's already stated and then others. What you all do as students, on top of what you have as your responsibilities for the organizations in which you have represented very well, is phenomenal. I certainly, I don't know who said it today, but you all make me look bad from my time as a student. I thought I was doing something, but you're just incredible. Your organizations are blessed to have had you leading them, and I wish you all future success. Welcome to our incoming student liaisons, and I look forward to getting to know you as well. Now, I want to give a shout-out because I got two friends in the audience. So to Rob Zeldenrust, raise your hand, Rob, and Aaron Bennett. These are my friends from the ag community who have come to kind of observe and see what's going on here today so they can report back. But I want to welcome you both. Thank you for taking me in as your little learning, you know, wannabe farmer girl, and I appreciate the collaboration that you all have given to MSU and your continued support. I also wanted to just quickly shout out the, I think they're the Goldwater Scholars, and did they leave?
I think they did.
All right. Well, that's incredible. So if you see them, let them know I gave them a shout out. I just wanted to congratulate them on that. And then lastly, Coop! I wanted to say that because I don't go to many games, Coop, right? Okay. I went to one game, but I watched them all on TV. But I would always hear every time he went up for a dunk or something, I'm like, what are they saying? And my son was like, they're saying Coop, Mom, Coop. And I'm like, so Coop. It's just incredible. I'm sorry. I think it's incredible that, number one, you came here because you really, I'm sure, had better things to do to represent. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be in.
We're glad he came to MSU, but you're saying
right,
to the meeting.
To the meeting. Oh. Don't you go in the portal, Coop.
You're staying here.
You better stay.
You heard. You all heard it right here. He said he's staying here. Can you stand up and say that?
Stay. Yeah.
Anyway, again, the same that I say to our student liaisons, I'm saying to you, I don't know how you all maneuver in the space of being in your capacities as student liaisons or student athletes and still do the incredible thing of having over 3.0 grade point averages or above. I mean, you all are a special group. I think God graces people to do the things that he calls us to do on this earth, and clearly you've been graced. I love to watch you play, so it's just nice to see you, and I'm sorry if I embarrassed you. That is something I often do. And then, is Viona still here?
No, she's gone.
Okay, I just wanted to say thank God for her father empowering her.
Grandfather.
Thank you for getting me right, Sandy Pierce. The grandfather for empowering her. We are blessed to have her. So anyway, with that, everyone, I am just happy to see everyone, and go green. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair.
Sorry, Scott, so
long. No problem. Trustee Behar-Cook.
Thank you. A couple things here I wanted to say. I'd like to echo President Guskowitz's comments and congratulate the outstanding work of 32 faculty, administrators, and academic staff and graduate assistants who were honored at the All-University Awards Ceremony on April 7th. 10 awards were presented to the 32 recipients representing numerous MSU departments and teams. I'd also like to congratulate once again our four AAAS fellows, Nick Haddad, Hema Reguera, Laura McCabe, and Michael Tennyson. They join a distinguished list of more than 180 current and past Spartans who have been selected as fellows. And I want to celebrate the recipients of the Excellence in Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Awards and International Awards, which were presented earlier in the semester. I'd also like to congratulate Elise Orbach on being named Assistant Provost for Michigan State University's Office of University Outreach and Engagement, effective April 14th. Her expertise will help contribute to the mission of advancing the overall scholarship of outreach and engagement at MSU. Also, Spartan Teacher of the Year, a final round of congratulations to two-time alum Kelly Cusmano on being named the Michigan Teacher of the Year for 24-25. Cusmano began teaching at Rochester High School 17 years ago and currently instructs 10th grade honors English. Three Spartans, including Kelly, have earned the prestigious Michigan Teacher of the Year title in the past 4 years. So you may have seen the rankings. Our College of Education is doing an awesome job. Aaron, I know you're leaving us and graduating and going to another school down the road. I hope you can teach them how great we really are over here at MSU. Excellence without arrogance is my theme for that one, but congratulations, and I hope maybe we'll see you as one of those teachers of the year one of these years. For three straight decades, MSU's College of Education has led the nation in elementary and secondary education. Alumni are making a global impact in classrooms and communities, with nearly 74% of those alumni choosing to stay and strengthen Michigan's educational landscape. I also wanted to thank Interim Dean at the College of Ag, Matthew Dahm, and Patrick Cudney for an amazing tour they put together for Trustee Balaam and I to get a feel for some of the programs that are taking place in the College of Agriculture and Natural Science. Mind-blowing So if you haven't had the opportunity to do that, my fellow trustees, I really encourage you to. I also wanted to give thanks to the Dean of the College of Communication Arts and Sciences, Heidi Hennick-Kaminsky. It's her excellence without arrogance line that I'm stealing. And she invited me and the rest of the board to participate or attend the community, the Comm Arts Alumni Awards, which I was able to do last weekend. We have some amazing alums who are working all over the nation and really helping promote the MSU brand and hopefully getting more folks interested in MSU. And then I'd also like to thank the administration for inviting me to this morning's May Sing, finding out more about those 70 inductees who are going to be working with MSU's Resource Center for Persons with Disabilities to assist those fellow Spartans on campus was really an incredible experience, and I enjoyed every minute of it. So thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Baylor.
Thank you, Dr. Fletcher. As we end the school year, I just want to say what an honor it is to be able to serve such wonderful people at such a wonderful university. I have a couple of good news items I'll start with. The Udall Scholarship nomination, I'd like to congratulate third-year student Megan Ransler as MSU's nominee for the nationally competitive Udall Scholarship. Megan is an Honors College student majoring in Biosystems and Agricultural Engineering through the College of Engineering and College of Ag and Natural Resources, with one concentration in ecosystems engineering and another in bioenergy and bioproduct engineering. And that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I'd also like to recognize six students from the Honors College for their experiences serving their communities. Sumia Imad, Eliezer Azase, Kaylin Casper, Alex Beck, Serena Westcott, and Shahid Mahdi were all recognized during the 9th Annual Honors Giving Back Awards on April 2nd. The college, in partnership with MSU FCU, awarded a total of $3,300 to all six students. And that leads me into my next point. I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of our young people here in my, 100 days as a trustee. And it's awesome. You know, like this job, being the volunteer nature it is good and bad. I mean, there's some days where you really wonder if you've had an impact, and then there's other days. But I will say that every moment that I've been able to spend with our students has been a value add in my life, you know, working on seeing what your hopes and goals are and seeing you work hard and managing the things. And it's like, you know, Carson, I'll tell you, and I'm just going to keep it simple and you can interpret this however you want. Thanks for doing it right. Thanks for doing it right. All of you. Give them a round of applause, the students. You know, as someone who's firmly planted in middle age, it may be I look like I'm 32, but I'm not. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sandy. I say that I have the proud girl dad of three girls who are either college age or near college age. And I told them when they were young, I said, be careful how you live your life, because there's always a set of little eyes looking up at you. And they're like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, I mean exactly that. Like, you don't know who's watching and when. Live so that you don't let them down, so that you're setting the example for others. You know, that's kind of stuck with me. But here's the corollary to that, that I may have said that to them 20 years ago, but here's what I realize is that middle-aged person. There's another set of eyes watching you that you don't even know yet. And that other set of eyes you'll see when you get to our age looking back on yourself. Those are your eyes when you get to later in life and you look back on the decisions that you made and the way in which you conducted yourself as young people. I like to think I did okay when I was younger. There's some things I would do differently, and no doubt there is for everyone. But take that forward with your cohorts, because you're coming out of here with a degree. You're coming out of here with relationships. You're coming out of here with how to work hard. And you can be an influence on other people that are both your peers and younger people, and live so that when you're older, you know you checked the right boxes so you have no regrets. And I wish that for all of you, all the students graduating. I want to say that these are extraordinary times to be working on a college campus, as we've heard. President Guskiewicz has been doing a really good job trying to manage all this. Like, it's never been easy being a university president. First of all, you have to deal with 8 trustees of different ideas and persuasions and goals, and that's the oversight piece, right? There can always be a healthy friction, and that's good for the university because we're all angling for the right thing and we'll find it. These are extraordinary times because there's so many outside inputs that are affecting us My urge, so thank you for trying to do it right, Mr. President. But my urge for all of us is to seek to lower the temperature and deal with each other on a very human level. Yesterday we had what I thought was a good conversation, and I'm looking at members of the audience that are here advocating for certain causes, and in particular, those whose families are in harm's way in war zones throughout the world. My empathy is great for people of any nationality or faith whose family is in harm's way. And I feel that one of our missions on campus is to support our students in any way that we can on a very human level. I don't seek to make mass statements politically or policy or anything like that. But I seek to make sure that the university is an advocate for our students on a very human level in terms of what they're going through and what their families are going through, and that we do what we can to make sure that they're supported, whatever country they come from, whatever stress they're going through, and incremental progress towards understanding should never be discounted at all. As long as we're talking and discussing the issues of the day, under the flag that flies out front that guarantees our right for free speech, in which many people have died for, we're going to get to the right place. So deal with each other on a human level, lower the temperature, and seek to understand each other. Well, that's my wish for everyone and what I will try to follow. Maybe just one more thing. I'd like to echo my fellow freshman trustee, RBC, Rebecca Bahar Cook, who had mentioned her thanks for, you know, the College of Ag and Natural Resources for inviting us. I'd like to encourage every dean and really anyone on campus who has something that they'd like to show off and they'd like to introduce us to invite us, trustees, schedule permitting, we'll try to make it. It's very important to meet people where they are and see what goes on a daily basis, and let us learn of your work and let us find ways to work together, because we can do amazing things. And with that, I think I'll close, and I wish you all a wonderful summer, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Trustee Dano.
Thank you. I'll be brief. I'm also probably going to be repetitive. Again, Kevin, really appreciate you. Appreciate your vision for this university. I appreciate you meeting with students. I've never seen a president meet with so many students and listen. And I also appreciate the fact that you and I can agree to disagree on issues and still be agreeable. That's super refreshing too. And so I thank you. And I sincerely meant it yesterday when I said, I really hope you get a vacation and some rest, because you've earned it. And I also, again, want to thank all our first responders, especially everyone in law enforcement, for all you do for our communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Trustee Pierce.
Okay, I have a couple of shout-outs for some awards that have been given. WKAR, they have won exciting, exciting broadcasting awards. The TV portion received awards in 11 of 12 categories, and the FM station received 2 Best and 4 Merit Awards, 20 WKAR Programming Awards in 24. So congratulations. We were there last night. The Board of Trustees, as well as administration, met with the East Lansing mayor and the city council and the city manager just to get to know each other, because we partner with them on quite a few things. And so it was just a great evening. And it was at WKAR. My next shout out is Dr. Mona Hanna. We met her. I've known her for a while, but the entire board met her last year when we had our board retreat in Flint, Michigan. And she is recognized by USA Today as one of their 2025 Women of the Year. Many of you know the work that she's done on the water crisis in Flint. Many of you know that she is really doing incredible work on RX Kids. And so we are so proud that she's part of Michigan State University and so well deserving of this award. I wish Fiona was here, because I just think that her story, I love when people tell their stories, because we've all got one. Ours are different from hers, but we all have one. And it's important to understand from where we came, to understand how we behave now and where we're going in the future. So I encourage you to be proud to tell your story. I'm the youngest of 10 children and the only one able to go to college because we were poor and I had decent grades. And we lived on top of my parents' barn in the city of Detroit. And so that's not on my resume, but it says a lot about my commitment to the community that raised me in Detroit. And so I encourage everyone to not be ashamed of from where you came, but be proud because it's how you got to where you are. And then I just want to say to the graduating students, my heartfelt congratulations. It's just incredible accomplishments, all of you. And those of you returning next year, have an enjoyable break and come back with the energy that you inspire so many of us. Cooper, I have to say, I've been to more than one basketball game. You are a hell of a lot taller in close up than from the trustee box. And I'm so glad you are staying. So congratulations on a great, great season, by the way. That's my comments.
Super. Thank you very much. Trustee Vassa.
Are you sure it's me? Okay. I feel like it's popcorn today.
I have no idea.
Oh, you mean jumping around?
Yeah. Okay. I'm ready, I think. First, happy Pride Month. Yay for happy Pride Month. And I want to first just say thank you to my partner. It was just so refreshing to see you come in. You look melanated and glistening and glowing and dapper. This actually is one of the best Spartans the best Spartan. I want to go home and have a happy life. The best Spartan that I know, and that you took time today with an extensive honey-do list at home. Extensive. That you took your time to drive here today and just show your face. I'm super, super grateful always for you and your partnership. And I needed your smile today, so thank you. And you look so cute. And so when we're thinking about Spartans who are now alum, oh my God, like, whoa, Dr. Roberts. Are you Dr. Roberts or you want to be called Dr. Miles or you want to be called Dr. M? What is it?
Dr. Roberts is fine.
Okay. Let it be known, Dr. Roberts from now on. I love this energy because Berkeley, NSF, sir. And you're like, oh, so thank you so much. I would wear a sign. Okay. You should be out here. So Dr. Roberts, congratulations. Connor, I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for all your service and for you've just been great the whole time, like a level-headed, very, very principled leader. And I just appreciate it. And then you're leaving too. Everyone's leaving. But we're getting some good people too. But congratulations on all of your accomplishments and we're gonna miss you. Thank you so much for the impact that you made. And Viona, you know, I always comment when people come to give their research because I'm appreciative. Research is difficult, and I appreciate their boldness and bravery in coming to talk to us about it. It's a vulnerable situation to come and talk. And so thank you, Dr. Bowen. So I couldn't even say anything because I was just blown away. And as you know, I have words. So to be wordless, I was speechless. And she's just amazing, and just a testament to, again, what MSU is and who we can produce, particularly with students who are from diverse backgrounds. Provost Jaisco, I know you talked about this, the Faculty Senate. I just appreciate your work in making sure that our students who are here and vulnerable and doing good work are protected. And thank you for being vigilant about these visas, right? These are hard times, and you're showing up as a leader for those who need you the most, and so I'm just grateful. I want to congratulate Izzo. I do have some earrings that have on a great season. And I didn't know how awesome his off-the-court performance was. I should have known, though, right? Like, that you have academicians like Coop. Thank you, Mr. Edwards, as well, for having a great season on and off the court. So thank you for that. Congratulations to Dean Chambers and his scholars. Thank you, Rebecca, for the town gown event last night. It was awesome. I wore my reading rainbow shirt, and I even didn't put together that this is PBS, but LeVar Burton, Reading Rainbow, PBS, I mean, this was a great night. And those watermelon skewers, I don't know what you did, child. So the Apple Manufacturing Academy, like President Guskowitz, I'm excited that Michigan State University and Apple are teaming up again and again and again. That partnership is really important to launch the Apple Manufacturing Academy in Detroit this summer. This collaboration highlights our shared commitment to supporting U.S. manufacturing, our investment to the city of Detroit. Our expertise in supply chain, logistics, and engineering makes us a perfect partner, right, for this initiative, one-of-a-kind initiative, and it aligns with our mission to foster innovative and positively impactful programming in the communities that we serve. We're proud to play a role in preparing the next generation of workers and strengthening Detroit's position as a leader in manufacturing. I would also like to congratulate Perro, I don't think Dr. Perro Dagbovi is here. Okay, Dagbovi is here. University Distinguished Professor of History, Vice Provost for Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, Dean of the Graduate School, on the publishing of his new book, Forever in the Path, The Black Experience at Michigan State University. I don't know if any of you have written a book. It's a difficult undertaking, and I'm glad that he did this important work, which chronicles the rich and complex history of black students, staff, and faculty at MSU from the 80s. Got a little 80s alum over here. The 1890s, sorry, 1890s, not the 80s, but it is the 80s, yeah, through the late 20th century, which also encompasses Lucius and his activism here on this campus. And then I would also like to congratulate Alejandra Marquez Guajardo. I want to make sure that I said her name correctly, Assistant Professor of Spanish, on receiving the 2025 Plantandano Semillas Award, also known as the MSU Faculty of the Year Award, recognizing her dedication and commitment to Latinx students and the Latinx community is really important. This award honors faculty who stand for inclusion and equity in education and who are committed to excellence in teaching and learning, student success, professional development, leadership, and college service, and creating a college-going culture. So we're proud of both of those good people. Feel like I missed something, but it's over. So then let me just say one more thing. As trustees, our collective duty, our fiduciary responsibility is clear. It's to protect this institution, its people, and our land grant promises. Make no mistake, higher education is under attack. Across the country, some of us traveled to Chicago to the AGB conference, and we learned that we're not alone, right? Across the country, we are witnessing deliberate attempts to dismantle structures meant to support equity, inclusion, belongingness, and justice. Pillars that are not only to uplift marginalized communities, but to ensure excellence for all. These attacks are not abstract. They are coordinated. They are here, and they are now. The University of Michigan's elimination of its DEIB infrastructure is not a singular decision. It's a signal, a warning. And if we do not heed it, we will find ourselves following their footsteps. No one ever wants to be Michigan. We just don't. We're not arrogant. We're just excellent, right? So we don't want to be them. Let's avoid it. Our students see what's happening. They are not naive. They are not confused. They are witnessing a disturbing pattern, investigations as weapons, leadership choices made in shadows, and empty promises dressed up as progress. They're tired. And quite frankly, I am as well. Instead of leveraging this moment to unify and protect the university, some of us are still choosing political theater, as if we don't have lives and futures and legacies on the line. This is unacceptable. I stand today not just as a trustee, but as a scholar and as an advocate and as a witness. I've been targeted, lost grant funding, but here also with baseless investigations, while others with serious allegations go unscrutinized, this double standard undermines this board's credibility and insults the intelligence of our campus community. Zora Neale Hurston is one of my favorite authors, and she said, if you are silent, they will kill you and say you enjoyed it. I'm not going to be silent. Just not doing it. MSU has an opportunity. It is our duty. We are called to lead with integrity, to serve with purpose, to act with urgency. We have an opportunity and an obligation to show that we are not afraid to stand for what is right, that our commitment to diversity, equity, justice is not performative but principled. To our students, especially our marginalized students, you deserve more than survival. President Guskowitz quotes me often when he says, you should thrive. He never gives me, he never quotes me and gives me attribution, but I know it's me, okay? I know it's me. You should do more than survive. You should thrive here, and you deserve an institution that is willing to fight for your ability to thrive. Let this board not be remembered for dysfunction and division, but for courage and clarity in a defining hour. We must lock in, lock arms, and lead. Together, lead. President Guskowitz often refers to a one-team governance framework. This way of leading closely aligns with the African proverb, it takes a village. The adage is furthered with another African proverb. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Let us finally, at long last, agree to give MSU the leaders they need. The stakes are too high, and the world is watching. Finally, rest. This summer, take some time to just sit and do nothing. Look at the wall, crochet, look at the birds. Watch Craven.
Or not.
Watch the Black Panther for the first time ever in life. Be cultured. Yeah. Well, I'm just letting you know, there's things that we could be doing to rest and rejuvenate and be inspired so that we can come back here in the fall ready to meet the moment. We have so much work to do, and if anyone can do it, MSU can. I am so, so, so proud. It is my distinct privilege and honor to serve this board. I'm going to take some rest this summer. I'm going to rejuvenate. I'm going to relax, and I'm going to come back ready. I want you all to do the same. Go green.
Thank you, Trustee Vassa. Trustee Kanacki Jefferson.
So I guess the beauty of being the last trustee with comments is that I can just echo the gratitude and congratulations to our students, to our faculty, to our students, to this administration and staff, to you, President Guskowitz, for your leadership. I don't have any personal comments, but I have been asked to read a script of accolades and recognitions, and so I want to do that. And I'll do so quickly, but I think it's important to continue these acknowledgments. As the president mentioned in his opening remarks, MSU has been recognized as a Fulbright top producing institution, and I have a little bit more to say about that in the script. I would like to congratulate MSU on being recognized in this way. We have produced Fulbright scholars every year since 1950. 10 MSU students and alumni were offered Fulbrights this year. Graham Diedrich, Katie McGraw, Nan Norn, Nolan Ruchaki, I think I said that right, I hope I said it right, Truman Forbes, Leon Donahue, Suling Wang, Isabel Williams, and Caroline Zuckerman. These finalists represent 6 of our 17 esteemed colleges at Michigan State, including the College of Natural Science, the College of Social Science, the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, James Madison, the College of Arts and Letters, and the College of Education. I also want to congratulate our 5 faculty scholars who were selected for Fulbright Awards. Sarah Fitzpatrick in the College of Natural Science, David McFarlane in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Ben Kumar Mantha in the College of Engineering, Robert Pennock in Lyman Briggs College, and Tom Boyce in the College of Engineering. As a Fulbright scholar myself, I know
how incredibly competitive these awards are, and to have 10 students and 5 faculty receive such a high honor really speaks to the academic excellence that happens every day here at Michigan State University and through the hard work and diligence of Joy Campbell, who oversees all of the many applications in the Fulbright office. I want to also acknowledge that the Michigan State University College of Law Tax Clinic is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and I want to wish them a happy anniversary. This clinic estimates they've helped approximately 4,000 disadvantaged taxpayers in the state resolve tax disputes valued at more than $10 million in recovered and reduced returns. Throughout the last 25 years, approximately 650 MSU law students have worked at the clinic, logging over 125,000 hours in pro bono services, and many credit the clinic with helping launch them on a successful and fulfilling career in tax law. Also coming out of MSU's law school is the Chance at Childhood Law Clinic, and this is my final set of recognitions. Given that April is the National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and so I want to recognize the College of Law's Chance at Childhood Clinic for adding two important partnerships this academic year to serve more indigent families with legal needs in Ingham County. They include partner violent services organization End Violent Encounters and MSU's psychology department's adolescent diversion program. End Violent Encounters is an organization that provides healing and supportive services to the survivors of intimate partner violence, sexual assault, and stalking. The adolescent diversion program aims to reduce recidivism and create positive change in the youth juvenile court system and to avoid formal criminal records. These new partnerships will allow for the Chance at Childhood Clinic to expand its reach to help two new populations needing assistance with family law matters. And in the 22 years since it's opened, the clinic has represented more than 380 families and children in custody, guardian cases, or general family law matters. And that concludes my comments.
Thank you very much. So please, Valerie, please do not disrupt the meeting. Please do not disrupt the meeting. Please do not disrupt the meeting, Valerie. So let's please proceed with items in public comment that are not germane to the agenda. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have each individual who's been signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. You'll hear the buzzer at the 30-second mark and again when your time is concluded. Given the number of speakers today, we ask that you not exceed your allotted time. Note that persons scheduled to speak may not cede all or part of their time to other individuals or read statements on behalf of others. We'll now hear from A. Proudfoot, followed by Ben Eiler. Good morning.
Hello. My name is A. I was just on the slideshow a few moments ago as a graduating senior with a 4-point, and I'm here today to bring to your attention the value of Michigan State University's Corey Marsh Ecological Research Center as a place of undergraduate research for consideration of funding. Some contextual information, Corey Marsh Ecological Research Center, or CMERC, is located in Bath Township, about a 20-minute drive from MSU's campus. CMERC was historically an MSU ag bio research farm where scientists tested properties for soil for growing crops. In 2018, CMERC was repurposed to be a place of ecological research with a focus on interdisciplinary undergraduate research. This transformation was formally recognized by the Board of Trustees through approving the updated name. CMERC's mission was formalized through a 5-year strategic plan that we are sharing with you today. This plan combines input from MSU community members and broader community, including students like myself. One of the major priorities in this plan is enhancing undergraduate research opportunities. My experience is an example of how the vision is already being realized. As an MSU freshman, I built the foundation for a long-term reptile monitoring program at CMERC, for which I was a UDAL scholarship nomination by MSU, actually. Building and leading this project made my future as a scientist feel tangible, as I was empowered to make my own decisions about research and lead a project that will have a lasting effect. Leading this project not only built my own research skills, but also provided learning opportunities for other MSU students. For the past 3 years, student volunteers and classes have come out to CMRC to build their skills as future researchers and conservationists using methods that I established. Currently, I am training an undergraduate student to continue leading this project after I graduate in May. Having the opportunity to build and lead a research project that will continue to be a part of research here at MSU is a unique experience that few undergraduate students get to have, and it was because of Corey Marsh Ecological Research Center that I got the opportunity. This experience was supported through funding from the Honors College as part of the Professorial Assistantship Program and the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources through the Undergraduate Research Program. But these funding avenues are not possible for everyone, and lack of funding acts as a huge barrier for students to engage with the meaningful opportunities that CMRC provides. Beyond individual support, CMRC also faces broader challenges. For example, CMRC currently lacks ADA accessible bathrooms, which limits inclusivity and prevents CMRC from holding larger events that could generate in-house revenue to produce a sustainable funding source for students. CMRC embodies MSU's mission of education, research, and outreach all in one place. With greater institutional support, CMRC has the potential to be a common nationally recognized model for undergraduate research and community engagement. Thank you for your time, and thank you for considering supporting CMRC and the student research that it fosters. My colleague Ben will be speaking in a moment.
Thank you, and congratulations on your award. Our next speaker is Ben Isla, followed by Amanda Flame. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Like I said, my name is Ben Eiler, and I'm a graduating senior majoring in fisheries and wildlife with minors in forestry and theater. Like A said, I've had the privilege of working at Corey Marsh Ecological Research Center. I transferred to MSU from Western Michigan University, where I majored in theater. And when I joined the fisheries and wildlife program, I saw this need and this opportunity to explore my passions of conservation and creativity. With the support of CMRC leadership, I established the Corey Marsh Theater Project in 2024, where we hired MSU theater artists to create an original play, The Link. This play, based on CMRC's significance, was the result of workshops and conversations with over 30 researchers, conservationists, and local community members. I provided you all with copies of the show program for The Link, so you can get a sense of the production, the community impact, and the interdisciplinary nature of this work. And this project wasn't just creative, it was also research, where I studied how integrating theater with conservation influences community engagement. I've already presented this research at conferences in Spain and in Baltimore and later today at URAF. And I am currently working to publish these findings in an academic journal as the lead author. CMRC allowed me to design, lead, and have true ownership of my own research, an experience that few undergraduates get. But CMRC isn't just about my story or A's story. It's a space where students learn to band birds, identify frogs, create art, and engage with communities. The center has hosted everything from indigenous language camps to outdoor painting events to community science projects. It's also home to over 3 miles of public walking trails where anyone can explore, observe, and learn. It's a rare place where research and recreation coexist, bringing science to the public. This is the land-grant mission realized. Education, research, and service intertwined. Alongside the need for bathrooms, which A mentioned, another challenge that CMRC faces is the lack of a dedicated funding source for the student research. Each student must find their own support, which can be a major barrier, especially for those without access to grants or institutional resources. While some students like myself and A have been fortunate enough to secure grants or fellowships, this funding isn't available for all, and it isn't guaranteed or consistent. These needs are crucial for CMRC's future, and by investing in infrastructure and student research support, we can ensure that CMRC continues to be a place where research, creativity, and community can thrive together. I'd like to personally invite you to visit Corey Marsh, to walk the trails, to see the research, and to meet the students. Thank you for your time and your consideration for the support of CMRC, a place that has profoundly shaped not only mine, but many others' education and future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Our next speaker is Amanda Flame, followed by Stephen Linder. Amanda, good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. Last week, I was honored with the university's prestigious
Teacher Scholar Award. So taking seriously this honor, I'm here to teach a bit about my scholarship on authoritarianism. I begin with a provocation. Democracy dies in darkness, but what is the darkness? Higher education is officially under threat by a government that many months ago declared itself hostile to higher education. And we now know that this hostile declaration was serious. A few examples that we are all too aware of now. One, universities are on watch lists for red herring claims about anti-Semitism. I'm not suggesting that anti-Semitism is not a serious problem, but the finest minds in the world are being compelled to follow guidelines on anti-Semitism issued by a movement that embraced Nazi-adjacent ilk as fine young people. Two, critical funding is being halted for mobilizing evidence-based words like woman, equity, and barriers to advance transformative research and programming. Three, and now international students and scholars are experiencing unconstitutional deprivation of visas and legal status. So democracy dies in darkness, and the darkness is out there, yes? While experts on fascism and authoritarian socialism, like myself, have mobilized volumes of evidence regarding the unsettling truth that the darkness is baked into everyday, seemingly banal interactions and bureaucratic decisions. When researchers and faculty wring our hands and fold ourselves into knots to remove meaningful, evidence-based terms like equity from our programs and websites, we invite the darkness. When administration discourages deans and department chairs from speaking out boldly and publicly against initiatives that seek to discredit and dismantle science and higher education, you promote the darkness. With every statement issued by university leadership about attempts to, quote, fly under the radar, you reveal yourselves to be unaware of the darkness to which many of our community members are constantly subject, disproportionately minoritized community members whose names have long been on defamatory watch lists simply because of who they are and the truths did they dare to speak. When you commit $5 million to advance research without clarifying how specifically this institution will protect our international researchers and students, who are now shaking in fear that you will be detained, deported, and separated, we abandon our colleagues, our students, and our dearest friends to the darkness. Would you turn our campus police on the students they are sworn to protect? You enforce the darkness. And when you remain inured to mounting evidence that we remain actively invested in genocide, war-making, and climate change, we ensure the darkness for future generations here and abroad. Democracy dies in darkness. What hard work will we do? What hard truths will we speak to sustain the light for all of us and for future generations to come? Who will we be if darkness prevails? Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. Our next speaker is Stephen Linder, followed by Barry Powers. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning. Well, what a night last night, huh? My name is Stephen Linder. My wife and I are both graduates of MSU. We are Abbott Society donors, Athlos Society donors. We've invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into MSU because we love this institution. Now MSU has to do something for us and the 3,000 to 4,000 Jewish students on this campus, none of which are here, even though I asked them, because they're afraid. They're afraid of the intimidation and the violence of people that support Hamas with false narratives on the campus. I'm here to ask the board and the president of MSU to pass a definition of anti-Semitism and policies to punish intimidation and hate speech directed at Jews. And I left you all a document that I think you should have received. The president has already signed an executive order demanding this of all colleges and universities or face serious financial and accreditation consequences. The Congress is about to pass the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which will codify this mandate. I'm working with members of Congress, I think, President, you know this, the White House and the Department of Justice to help us get this done, one way or another. Let's get this done because Spartans will. And don't do it because you have to. Do it because MSU has always stood up to hate and discrimination. 95% of all Jews go to college, and so the Hamas supporters know where the Jews are, and they've picked their spots very well. 87% of Jewish students, according to a poll, have suffered discrimination, harassment from both students and faculty. But the biggest lie that's being foisted upon you is the lie that is being used to support BDS. I've been to Israel. I served. There are 2 million Arabs and Muslims in a country of 10 million people. And the rest of the Arab world, almost 2 billion people, almost no Jews. Where's the apartheid? Where are the Jews in the Arab world? Genocide? If Israel, a day after an orgy of massacre, rape, beheadings, and hostage taking, if they wanted to destroy Gaza, it would have been gone already. They're going after Hamas. And members of this coalition that last night caused all of the ruckus, some of the member groups are currently under investigation by the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice for directly being funded by terror groups overseas. Stand up for Jews, pass this anti-Semitism resolution. We'll work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Our next speaker is Barry Powers. Barry, good morning.
Good morning. Greetings. Before you start my time, could I just please ask...
The timer starts when your comments start.
Fair enough. Thank you. Madam Chairman, may I request an additional 3 minutes? I know that the bylaws say three, but the bylaws also incorporate...
The bylaws say three, Robert's rules, if I may, which also incorporate the opportunity for
the board to approve an additional 3 minutes. So I will ask for that, and it's been denied, as I understand it.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I ask that you please listen fast, because I've got a lot of ground to cover and not much time to do it, okay? Chairman Tebe, Vice Chairman Scott, Trustee Kanaki Jefferson, Trustee Pierce, Trustee Deno, Trustee Balo, Trustee Behar Cook, Trustee Vassar, greetings. I also want to extend greetings to Vice President Quinn, Secretary Fletcher, Provost Yechko, if he's still, yes, and, of course, President Guskovitz. Thank you for letting me be here. Arts, science, letters, humanities, social sciences, natural sciences, mathematics, music, agricultural applications, business, manufacturing, medicine, law, the truth, scientia, knowledge. That is your mission. That's a lot to do, folks. You have a lot to accomplish, and nothing could be more important. What is not within your purview? Social justice, ideologic, religious, or spiritual proselytization, anti-American radicalism, yellow journalism. I'm here to speak on the matter of Schoenberger and the trustees. Court of claims, you've been served. I have the complaints here. And I want to thank Mr. Fletcher, Mr. Quinn, Liz Watsa, and Allie from your office in accommodating me with all of my needs this morning. You've been wonderful. I'd ask Mr. Quinn to go ahead and distribute these to each of the trustees and to Mr. Guskovitz. You were good enough to sign the acknowledgments of service last night. Thank you for doing that. I understand that there were some other things going on here last night, so I appreciate that attention. My client appreciates it. I am here representing Thomas Schoenberger. I'm going to come back to those academic subjects if I have time. I am not speaking today as an adversary. The case is Schoenberger and the trustees, not Schoenberger versus the trustees. Now, at this point, I usually make an opportunity to say this. Forgive me for turning my back on you, but this is the people's room. This is the people's building. It is not the government's building. You have a right to be here. You share it with me, with my client, with everybody else here, with all the members of the state. You took an oath to uphold the Constitution.
Mr. Powers, thank you so much. Your time has exceeded the allotted time, so thank you very much for your comments this morning. President Guskovitz, that concludes public comment.
I am available for questions. questions if there are any. I know that's unorthodox, but I am available if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. So I want to thank everyone for joining us this morning. I just to echo what Trustee Vassar said earlier, I hope that as the semester comes to a close and the summer break, holiday, if I might, is in sight, that you'll find some time for some rest and recharging. But with that, I'll ask if there is a motion to adjourn the meeting. A second? Okay. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? All right. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.